like people were that one guy replaced John Stewart on the
Yes,
TV show.
Yes. That Chris Gore, you can't shut him up. He's here.
Wait, what?
We're live.
Welcome
now.
To the Light Side of Dark Side, Chris.
We are live.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to talk to you. I didn't know we were.
We're going to talk. We'll talk about Jim Norton after the show. No, I'm sorry, Chris. I brought my own water.
Why don't you go to the mic like you like it?
We're a little late, and Tesla Coyle's coming.
Oh, she's right here.
Yeah, so I hate to.
Did you get your boobs done, Tesla?
No, they've always been this big.
Anyway. You're wearing extra Wonder Bra, I think.
Anyway, welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's the Dark Mark Show 2-year anniversary.
That's the boobier side.
I can't believe always. I showed.
Do I have to wear these?
You don't have
it
to.
Helps.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes. We don't do wacky sound effects, so you don't have to wear that.
I'm going
to
be a rebel and not wear it.
That's Chris Gore, as I'm sure you know. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Welcome to your Friday Night Free Show. Wednesday night free.
Wait
show.
A second, is it Friday night?
What day is
Thursday,
it?
Friday. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. We never do the show on Wednesday. It's a Wednesday night free show.
We should have just gone the whole show pretending it was Thursday. That would have been the perfect April Fool's show.
Yeah, and I said Friday, which made no sense. This is my co-host, Nicole Six. Nicole.
Hi. Hello.
No wine tonight, but she's got Gatorade. She's going to toast for you.
I'm being a good girl.
And it's going to be a great show because we have two of
those. Those mix well with vodka. The blue Gatorade.
Everything
and
I
had
this blue this week, so I'm still recovering.
Because I was going to bring
Don't
Absinthe.
People mix anything with vodka? I mean,
anything. Absolutely anything.
I remember being a teen. We, as a teenager, we put, what was it, Tang? Tang and vodka? Oh, that was
foul.
Apparently, that's our former co-host, Josie Cadd, who apparently used to be an astronaut and mixed Tang with vodka. And of course, that Chris Gore, you know him from G4 TV.
Hello, Dark Minions.
Oh, wow. Just for nostalgia's sake. G4 TV, Geek Time, Attack of the Show, also Film Threat, which is coming back.
I hope.
If you've been on Twitter, you must thank God that guy at The Daily Show because all the heat's off you now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone's outraged about him, not about my fanfic panel that got canceled at WonderCon.
Well, just imagine if you got picked to be the host of The Daily Show, and you'd be a good host.
I don't know. I think the reason that they're pissed off at this guy is because he's only been on the show 3 times. No one knows who he is.
He's 31
he's
years old.
He's huge in South Africa. I mean, sells out stadiums.
I thought it used to be Japan. Now we're picking more remote places to be big in.
He's actually a huge comedian in South Africa, and he sells out stadiums.
In South Africa.
But right. In the United States, he's virtually unknown, and I think he just hasn't had a lot of exposure.
Right.
And I think a lot of the issue is there are several other correspondents on The Daily Show that have been there so much longer and put in their dues. And they weren't promoted first.
Right. That's exactly like Jason Jones.
Exactly. And
Samantha
that's why
Bee.
He left. Why do you think he left?
I would have
Samantha
left.
Bee and Jason Jones? Yeah, that's why they left to do their own thing.
Well, I didn't realize she left. I knew that he did.
No, well, they're a couple.
They are. They're
and
married.
And they're doing a different show together. But you're right. I agree with you. I think the reason people are outraged has nothing to do with, you know, the fact that, you know, this guy Noah has had shitty jokes.
Right.
It's that he hasn't paid his dues. And so many other people on that show, John Oliver was around for a long time.
Right.
He guest hosted for a whole summer.
Right.
When John Stewart was off making his film, Rosewater, which I saw, which I thought was excellent. But, you know, John Oliver, like, you could see, like, okay, you know, maybe not necessarily take over The Daily Show, but, like, giving him his own show on HBO, and that show on HBO is brilliant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But this guy, Noah, you are correct. The reason for the outrage is because
I think Noah gives a better blowjob. I think that's what the issue
was. Well. Yeah.
You think that whoever blowjobs Stewart the
best
is...
I think Noah gave a better blowjob,
okay.
To be honest.
And trust me, if anybody knows blowjobs, it's Josie Cat. Also, talking there, putting
I'm
her
sorry,
in her two sets. That is
your...
Tessa LaCoyle. She's been here... She was here when we first started in 2013, one of the best shows we ever had. 2014, another highlight show. 2015, you're back once a year. I can't get rid of you. I don't want to get rid of you. But it's always a highlight, as you'll see, Chris. There's some amazing stuff happening.
What's going to happen?
Well, I don't know. But
he said, is his voice cracked?
You'll see.
It's time
First off, let me give our sponsors real quick. And we only have two now, so it's good. Doomy's Home Cooking. You've been to Doomy's Home Cooking, I'm sure, right?
What? Is this a real thing?
Doomy's Home Cooking.
Oh, it's
never
the best.
Heard of it.
Oh, it's so
delicious. We might go after the show. That's what I was planning to do, but... I would need a ride, but Doomy's Home Cooking is on 1253 Vine Street. Isn't where the M Bar used to be? It's the best vegan restaurant you've ever had. The nachos, which are vegan, were voted one of the 10 best nachos in L.A. by the L.A. Weekly.
It is, wow. It is hands down the best chicken salad I've ever had in my life, and there's no chicken in it.
Wow.
Get the creme brulee.
Creme brulee is delicious.
Creme brulee is good.
It's so good.
It's vegan creme brulee.
The pulled pork is supposed to be fantastic. They have fried chicken. This is all vegan.
Wow.
That's if you're in L.A. or you're visiting L.A., because we have a worldwide audience. We have people listening in Russia, Australia, England. But if you're visiting L.A.
Do we really? We have people.
We really do.
From wow.
I'm not bullshitting. Especially now because we've got a big star on the show. We have Chris Gore. Wow. That Chris Gore is on the show. Big star.
I'm here.
You're probably big in South Africa.
I don't know. Well,
1253 Vine Street if you're in Los Angeles. Also, go to darkmarkshow.com. Ignore the stamps.com because they've just pulled their sponsorship. But we still have audible.com, which is good because you can get Chris Gore's song, Celebrities Poop, for free.
Well,
Celebrities Poop for free?
Celebrities Poop for free.
I brought a copy of Celebrities Do Poop.
Right.
But is it for free?
But your
usually
song.
On for free.
Your song,
it's
Celebrities.
On eBay.
I brought you a sticker.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
We put it somewhere in the studio.
Right.
All the stickers have been pulled down.
I'll put them on my card.
I appreciate that.
Did I ever give you it?
You did not. You did not. You were going to bring it.
I listened to your album, by the way.
Yes.
Aww. There's a reason you are called Dark Mark.
Okay, well,
dude, that album.
Go to audible.com. You can get any kind of book you want. You can get Stephen King books, comedy albums, whatever you want. How was that play with Dracula, with Tim Curry, oncoming, and all-star cast? I know you downloaded that, Josie.
I did. Fantastic. Amazing.
The Stephen King books are great on audible.com.
I listen to Audible books all the time. One of my favorite books I just read from audible.com is Assholes, A Theory.
Right.
It's all about a theory about how society is structured around assholes.
Right.
It's why we have laws.
We have so many.
It's an incredible book because it defines what an asshole is. I mean, we're all human.
Right.
They're good and bad. We have good and bad days, whatever. But being an asshole is someone who's consistently a self-centered, narcissistic sociopath for the most part.
Chris Gore, please tell me what an asshole is.
This is our conversation we were having.
Since you're the expert, please tell us. What is an asshole, Chris Gore?
The book is great because it goes through like a definition of what an asshole is and how much society has been altered to accommodate asshole behavior and just sort of try to curb it. Every law is just related to someone who did an asshole thing before. That's why a law was created.
I'm going to download that book.
I think I'll download that too.
In any case, it's a really good book, and it's on audible.com. I'm trying to help you with your plug.
I appreciate that.
We love Audible. Say that book again.
Assholes, A Theory. And it's a real book.
You can get that for free if you go to audible.com. But go through the darkmarkshow.com because you get the book for free, 30-day free trial.
What's the doubt? Do you have a code you enter?
Yeah. No. You just go to my website, darkmarkshow.com.
Darkmarkshow.com.
Click on the Audible banner ad right next to my smiling face.
Right.
Get you right to Audible. You sign up with your Amazon account. Pick a book. It's free.
Well, the thing that shocks me the most is you have a smiling face on your website.
Right.
That's surprising.
It's a creepy smiling face.
Well, I'm curious.
Since you mentioned it, Chris, please stroke my ego and tell me what you thought of my comedy on my Laugh So Hard I Cried.
Yeah. First of all, I'm trying to remember the funny parts.
They're there.
The stuff that's dark is the stuff about your ex-girlfriend, which I feel like there's stuff that's like still ongoing.
It's not that funny, Tessa.
Stuff about your ex-girlfriend is pretty scary and dark.
The Australian one?
Right. And then the other thing with the stuff with your dad was just, heartbreaking. It's not, I mean, I'm like trying to think like, when do I get to laugh? It's more of a one-man show than a comedy album.
But the story where I explained to my dad what bronies are?
Yeah.
That was funny.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
I think anything brony-related is funny.
Well, Tessa McCoyle.
I love bronies. I love
bronies. A brony.
Bronies are awesome.
Your Pegasister.
What is that?
I don't know the difference.
It's like the female version of brony.
Oh.
Right.
But we're not dudes, so we're Pegasisters.
So what do the bronies think of Pegasisters?
I think they're scared of us because they're scared of women.
Okay,
so why are you a Pegasister then?
I love My Little Pony. Okay. MLP, dude, all the way. Applejack is my spirit animal.
Okay. Because I don't get it. Please explain it to me.
Well, I think it's a wonderful series that does a fantastic job at representing all walks of life, being able to, like, live together and correspond and get along in a positive manner. And it definitely is a kid's show. And unlike
a little girl show.
Well, unlike most animated shows that I watch, you know, if you're going to talk about the stuff that I watch on Adult Swim or whatever, right, like it's animated, but it definitely has subversive undertones or overtones to it. MLP is very much a kid's show that's designed for children, but adults can still watch it and pull life lessons and family values out of it. Like every time I watch an episode, I'm like, well, if Rarity and Applejack can get along, that means I can get along with so-and-so. Like,
MLP. By the way,
children are going to be so screwed up. It's not like that at all.
And by the way, Tessa, I'm so glad that you put your antenna in for the show.
Yeah, I did.
I don't like to drive with them, so I have to put them in at the last minute.
Oh, so you're putting them in the parking lot?
Well, no, just when I walked in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And those are nice. Are those? Is there a specific name for those antenna that you have on?
These are my special occasion antenna.
Oh, it's the anniversary party.
They're really cool.
Antenna. Well, Josie,
are you picking up anything?
No, not yet. I do hear voices, but I think that has nothing to do with the antenna in your head.
Don't listen to
the committee.
Well, that,
yeah.
Your love of My Little Pony segues very nicely because I got to get it out of the way, Chris. You have been in the news. You've been on social media quite a lot lately. Mm-hmm. There's a big WonderCon scandal involving you. Please explain to us what's going on with Chris Gore.
I read something about this weekend.
Well, real simply, for the last couple of years I've been doing a show at conventions. We're talking about comic book conventions.
Yes.
And I do a show that is fun, that people that attend the convention enjoy attending, and it's called Fanfic Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is we have people, one of two things happens, or one of three things actually. People bring their fan fiction and we read it. Or we find fan fiction, get permission from the author, and we read it.
And who's we?
Or someone is invited to the panel, they write fan fiction for the panel, and we read fan fiction that's written based on audience suggestions. So, for example, Frank Conniff from Mystery Science Theater 3000 wrote an essay called Pacific Rim Meets Godzilla. And in it, the robot from Pacific Rim gives Godzilla a rim job.
Nice.
So, now fan fiction is something that a lot of people that get into, like, they want to be fiction writers, they want to write, you know,
They want to do creative writing.
One of the first ways that a lot of people delve into creative writing is fan fiction. I want to see the further adventures of Harry Potter. So they invent a scenario where Harry and Ron Weasley, it's mostly homoerotic, because a lot of fan fiction is homoerotic.
Not the MLP fan fiction.
Well, some of that.
Some of it is. Yeah. You'd be shocked. There's even Pokemon fiction. We wouldn't be shocked.
I support and love it all. It's people that, and I think sometimes the more outrageous the fan fiction, the better. There's one that I've read. It's Star Wars, and it's a sort of Star Wars Transformers mashup where Optimus Prime ends up grafting the head of Jar Jar Binks onto his penis and fucking Princess Leia with his giant, enormous 10-foot cock.
There's a lot of sexual fan fiction, but that's not most fan fiction.
There's a website called adultfanfiction.net.
Some of it is just weird, but I love it. I love it because it's like it's so outrageous and creative. So there were a small group of fans who took umbrage to this. They took umbrage.
Right.
And they complained to the WonderCon Twitter account, and there were about 15 or 20 of them relentlessly sending tweets. We're talking about like social justice warriors that want to shut shit down. And after about 2 days of doing this, the WonderCon people are like, this is actually getting some traction online. Like people are talking about it. The problem is it was just based on a description that I wrote. And the description was like, hey, performer. It said comedians reading fan fiction.
But it was also it was the wildest and weirdest fan fiction, I think.
Wildest and weird. Well, what am I supposed to say? Look, the thing is this. When I write a description for a panel in a program guide where you're looking at hundreds of different programs, what I'm trying to do is fill it with hyperbole to get people to show up to my panel.
I understand.
Well, I'm not going to say the most literate and boring and, you know,
not
earnest.
To say all literate fan fiction is boring.
If I said the most
very little literate fan fiction.
Yeah, the most earnest and honest fan fiction is not going to get. Look, I'm throwing in some hyperbole and some adjectives, so what? So this small group of people protested online. And then WonderCon just decided, you know what, this isn't worth the trouble. We're going to cancel it.
And here's my two points.
And I agreed with them. I didn't fight them. I said I agree.
You would have had so many people there.
So the fight was over the verbiage that you used in a description.
Yes.
That is correct. And no matter what I said to these people, I said we get permission from the fanfic authors. In fact, fanfic authors are on the panel.
And I think that was the thing is that they thought
you were just picking fanfic.
They thought you were just picking fanfiction and goofing on it, which you were not doing.
And even if I did that, I can fucking do that if I want to.
Well, right.
And you can fucking do that, and we can all do that. And the thing is, look, I've been going to conventions.
And the other thing is, if you don't like it, don't go to the panel.
Since I was a kid. Yeah, exactly. I've been going to conventions since I was a kid. It is such a great safe space to be able to just express. This is what I love about this, and it's interesting because the goth fetish and nerd community intersect in many ways.
Right.
In the sense that it's a very accepting environment. You know, it's like I have been to fetish and goth clubs, and I've seen wild and crazy and weird and insane stuff. And you know what? I applaud it. I love it. Someone's got a full latex Star Trek: The Next Generation outfit.
Tessa does.
With the pussy cut out.
Tessa does.
You know, I mean, like, I love that. I love people being able to say, I'm free to express who I am in whatever way. No one is made fun of at a goth club or a fetish club.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
At a convention, and it should not be that way. What has begun to creep in is nerds bullying other nerds.
Yes.
In the interest of shutting people. And it's very disconcerting.
Are these real nerds?
There are giant Twitter mobs that I feel start with trolls that are not actual nerds, but then ideas, both sides just get riled up, and it's all about Twitter, really.
It's their little bit of power that they could get behind the computer.
Because let's face it, everybody's a fucking nerd. It's cool to be a nerd now. You were ahead of the curve. You started from
Twitter. Please don't say nerd before it was
every week there's another nerd battle in the community.
Because that's sort of everyone here.
Yeah,
right? But starting Film Threats, and actually gave a forum for people like Tarantino, Kevin Smith, that actually, and you were talking about Star Wars and other things, and writing about a lot of these things that are now were underground then,
right,
in the 90s, that are now mainstream. So you were ahead of the curve, and that's why you go to all these conventions. You're invited to all these conventions. You're invited to panel at all these conventions.
Well, I think everyone here on this podcast was ahead of the curve, at least in our ideas. It's finding your tribe and finding a way to be able to express yourself. And if you're really lucky, you can express yourself and make money doing it. But that's a whole other.
You're on Attack of the Show.
That's another podcast.
Right. You're on Geek Time. You're on Attack of the Show.
I mean, none of that stuff pays. Well, some of it does. I mean, some of it does. I've been pretty smart about my career in terms of stuff.
Right.
I've decided to do and whatnot.
I was going
to
ask you.
Try to find a way to have it make money. But making money is not my primary reason for doing things.
I was going to ask you. I never asked you. A couple times, like with Siskel and Ebert, and I always love Siskel and Ebert. I know Richard Roper's helping you with your film thread. We'll talk about film thread a little bit later. Yeah. But
Let's talk with other people, too.
But let me ask you one question.
Sure.
When Siskel died, and also when Roger Ebert got sick, were you ever approached to possibly be the second critic?
No, they did when they were doing the round, when they had guests on, and I just never got through the rotation. But that I don't know. I think I would have felt weird. I'm glad I didn't do it.
Really?
I'm glad I didn't do it. Yeah.
As a film critic,
I did my own thing. I never consider myself a film critic. I'm not the best one out there,
right,
for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm more lean towards, like, if I have the choice between make a really smart film comment or make a joke, what I try to do is combine the two.
Right.
More than anything, and be funny. But being funny is more where my instinct is.
Right.
So I prefer to do that, and I prefer to wrap, you know, maybe a complex concept within a joke, right? So
Josie has, she actually left the show in February, and a lot of people are upset.
A lot of time off.
Well, a lot of people, first off, didn't know you were gone. A lot of people were like, oh, my God. You know, even after I made the announcement, they're like, what happened to Josie? There's no beef between us.
No.
There's no beef between you and Nicole. So what have you been doing since the show?
You guys so fucked.
Well, it's really funny because I don't think people know this, but me, Josie, and Mark are actually friends outside of the studio, so.
Oh, by the way, Nicole, when I told you, this is before you were ever the co-host, I told you, I mentioned that, or you saw that I had Chris Gore on before.
Yeah.
And you were very excited. You're like, wow, great booking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really? We're in similar circles. I'm not sure I said that, but I'm guessing that's how I interpret it. But I'm like, oh, yeah, he's a good get. I think that's exactly what I said.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Nicole's the new co-host. So, Josie, but you've been filming reality shows.
I have. I was traveling, and, well, I did one on TLC, and then
can you describe the outfit you were wearing on the one that on TLC?
The outfit, it was very little.
No, there was like you're swapping outfits.
Oh, the new one, the new show.
Yeah.
I signed like 20 non-disclosures on this. They're getting crazy with these contracts
but
now.
But let's say Josie's wearing something you would never expect her to wear.
If I say that in an air,
I say that, Mark, and I just picture her wearing a lot of clothes.
Like a down parka.
Anyway, it's very funny, the episode that we did, because I basically kind of do a swap with someone, a life swap, with someone that would be an unlikely candidate. And I'm definitely an unlikely candidate for them. And it makes for good reality.
So you've been busy and you've been finishing your video.
Yes. It's Pissant's 20-year anniversary. Oh. 20 years in punk rock. Can you believe it? Continuously.
Actually, looking at you, yes.
Oh, fuck you.
I had to do it. For all time's sake. For all time's sake. Come on, I had to do it.
Fuck you, Mark.
You set me up so easy.
I know, I did. So, yeah, I filmed with at Wasteland Weekend.
Right.
And got some great footage. And I'm going to have a big party at Noise Factory, which is going to be very apocalyptic. And it's going to be about a week before the movie comes out. So I'm a little excited about that. You know, I have a lot of work.
You know who was dancing at Noise Factory recently?
Who?
Tessa LaCoyle. I saw some pictures of her dancing at Noise Factory. Now, Chris, now let me introduce you to Tessa LaCoyle. She used to be known as Danny Danger.
Wait, I think I've seen pictures of you.
Yeah, Mohawk.
Yes.
Yeah, that's me.
I've seen you.
That's me.
Yeah. I've met you a couple times.
I'm a con frequent. I have met you.
I think I have met you at cons.
Yeah. Just look what I started.
Just sort of cheering you on.
Well, speaking of pictures, I wanted to show a picture, and I sent this to Josie and Nicole. It's on the screen for everybody to see. You can't see it, Chris, but it's Nicole. Not Nicole. It's Tessa. Tessa LaCoyle dragging a truck behind her with two hooks in her back. Is
well,
that correct?
Which one? Which time? What are we talking
about? It's the one that was on your going away party.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like you do it all the time.
Yeah.
You just stick a couple hooks in the back.
Yeah, that's just another Monday night for her.
Yeah, or Monday morning or Tuesday evening or whatever.
There it is. There's the picture.
Okay. I whipped out my phone.
Apparently, everybody in Arizona has a mohawk, but or did in 2002 or whatever that was.
It was the apocalypse.
2013.
All of my roommates, I lived in a place called the Danger Compound, named after myself. There were between 6 and 9 roommates at any given time.
You see all the people
for the most
in the
part,
truck?
We all had mohawks.
See all the people in the truck?
There was easily 14 people in the flatbed of that truck.
Oh, I had a mohawk. I miss my mohawk. Yeah. So I think I need my mohawk again.
So what was the first time you did something?
The first time I did a pull?
Yeah.
The first time I did a pull, I pulled a full-size Toyota Tacoma uphill for 60 yards from two hooks in my back.
Wow.
That was the first time I did a pull.
Now, is this truth or dare? Or who taught you into this?
What do you mean?
Huh? Like, someone's like, truth or dare, dare. Oh, tow a truck.
No, it was the community that I was raised in. It was
everybody tow trucks.
That's what we do.
Honestly, like, that's what you do. Like, when you're a part of the body modification community, like, that's kind of what you do in your free time. For example, this Sunday, I'm going to go hang out with some of my friends in North Hollywood.
Literally hang out.
We're the hookers.
Right.
And we're going to go hang out on Easter and go hang from, you know, like, trees in a park somewhere. And,
oh, okay. Yeah. So you still do suspension. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. You're going to be hanging from, I mean...
Well, I'm definitely going to be throwing.
You're
going to
be hanging from a tree in a park.
Yeah, on Sunday. Happy Easter.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
It's very Jesus-like.
You're not going to crucify yourself.
I
have done crucifixion suspensions before. Yeah,
definitely. I almost brought some Cadbury cream eggs, but not this time.
Damn it! So, you know I like to lick the filling out of things.
I know. next time you're in, but you're not doing that as much now. You are a nursing student.
Yes, I'm a nursing student. I'm almost done. I have about 6 months left in my curriculum, and I'm in full-time clinicals right now.
You changed your name to Tessa LaCoyle, which...
I did about a year and a half ago.
I just got the TLC thing like 2 days ago.
Yeah, get it? So my legal name was Danny Danger for the majority of my 20s, and then when I decided to go into nursing school, I didn't think that it would be a good idea with the last name Danger.
Nurse Danger.
Mm-hmm. Nurse Danger. So I wanted a name that was just as intriguing and interesting as Danny Danger, but a little bit less superhero and a little bit more professor. So I went with Tessa LaCoyle after Nikola Tesla.
Right.
And of course, now when I sign off on my nursing programs, it says Nurse TLC.
And you did something even more extraordinary, I think, than pulling a truck, as you saved somebody's life recently.
Yes, I did.
Oh.
I did. I was in clinical rounds, and I was in a patient's room by myself, which as a nursing student, like even if you're in a graduate program, even if you're in your clinical rounds, you're still not technically allowed to do anything or administer anything unless you have a clinical instructor standing right over your shoulder. It's just a matter of, it's a matter of policy and it's a matter of liability. But I was in the room by myself because all I was doing was taking vitals from a patient next to this other patient. And the patient behind me went into cardiac arrest.
Oh my gosh.
And as a nursing student, by yourself in a room with two patients, one of which is literally coding on you, and I have no idea how far behind me the other nurses are. Of course, you know, you hear the bings and the dings and the lights start going off. But I don't, in that moment, I don't know how long it's going to take until somebody else comes into the room. And the thought going through my head is, do I leave this patient to try and grab somebody? Do I stay with him? What do I do? The only thing that I knew how to do, because I had no meds with me, I didn't have a defibrillator with me. That's all in the crash cart, which is, you know, kept where the actual nurses are. So I immediately turned around, regloved, and this patient who was pretty much comatose, non-ambulatory, elderly patient, all I could do was take his hand, and I put his hand right here. And despite the fact that this man was...
Like on your boobs. Because that would wake me up.
Yes, her boobs woke this guy and saved his life.
It was right above, right here. Nice. But between the subdermal implant and the chesticle over here. But, you know, you place the hand right here.
Could you demonstrate? No, go ahead. With my hand. I'll wait.
I have tachycardia, which nice. Basically is like a sped up heartbeat. I have my heartbeat at rest is slightly faster than a normal person's heartbeat, and my heart actually beats a little bit.
Do you attribute that to be because you have Vulcan, or
could be? Yeah. It could be the Vulcan for right. sure.
We'll check out her ears later. Trust me on this.
I put his hand over my heart and I looked at him and I said, "Can you feel my heartbeat?" And this man who could not speak, could not move, blinked at me, and I knew that meant that he heard me.
Right.
His heart slowed and matched my heartbeat. By the time the other nurses came in with the crash cart with the meds and the defibrillator, mm-hmm. his heart rate had resumed normal. Like his heart rate was normal by the time they got back in there. Now to say that I saved his life, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think that, you know, if I wouldn't have been there, the nurses would have come in and been able to administer whatever meds they needed or use the defibrillator if they needed to.
Now, did you get extra credit for this?
I did get a stunning letter of recommendation from my clinical instructor.
Very nice. Well, Chris, it's hard to top that story, but Film Threat.
I can't top that story.
Film Threat, which is the magazine. Now, when did you leave Film Threat? Because you started Film Threat in the 80s.
No, I mean, not long ago. I mean, like, I started it, you know, right out of high school in 1985.
And then it became a glossy.
And it became like a glossy thing and whatever. So it was a print magazine.
I remember the
like,
print magazine.
Print magazines, it's like the internet, but on really thin slices of wood.
Right. It's kind of like this, but yeah.
It's how they used to disseminate information.
And they distributed videos and
right, yeah, it was a whole thing to just support indie film and 5 years ago I sold it to a guy who used to work for me, and just through the convoluted terms of the deal, the rights reverted back to me, and I can't afford to support a website anymore. I just can't afford it, especially one that's like with a. Anyways, so I've launched a Kickstarter to bring back Film Threat and DVD Tuesday
the segment I did on Attack of the Show.
Right.
So if you go to filmthreat.com, you'll get to check out all the different cool perks for my Kickstarter.
I'm going
to
check that out. But
you'll see an extremely embarrassing video of me that has like footage where I look like a child, a mere child compared to the way I look now.
Well, that's worth it. Is this a footage from when you directed the movie Red and you had a ponytail?
No, but that was, oh my God, I can't believe you remember that.
I have the DVD at home. I brought it last time.
Yeah, so I'm like, hey, I really want to do Film Threat right. You know, I want to do a website. I want to expand the website, do an app. What's that? What?
No, I'm looking at the website. You're doing pretty good.
No. Actually, technically not. With 20 days to go and only 10%,
right.
That's not great.
Okay.
I should be further along.
Right.
If in a week I'm not at 50%, the chances are slim. Now, so I really need everybody to help out. So if anyone is interested in some of the perks that are on there, just go to filmthreat.com. It redirects to the Kickstarter.
Give us one example of a perk.
If you go back.
Well, I'll retweet you. And I've got like 350,000 followers on Twitter.
Right.
Which is actually something a lot of people have offered me money for. What's that?
Can you tell the audience a few things?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get him to do. But yes.
But he wasn't. So I.
What was I?
I
not
reworded
doing?
It.
You're not pitching yourself.
Right? No, if you pledge $25 or more, you get a poster.
Yeah. $25 a poster. I think it's $75 a T-shirt.
Right.
But you get like all these. It's a bunch of really cool perks.
You retweet. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Hoodie. There's all sorts of stuff here.
Yeah, it's.
Is it the hoodie you're wearing now?
A shout out.
No. I was just checking out that hoodie.
A shout out on DVD Tuesday.
I like the bat wings.
I just made those out of leather.
Now here's the thing about DVD Tuesday. There's no DVDs anymore. Everybody's streaming. Don't you think that's
weird? That's true. So I can announce that because I don't have the rights to DVD Tuesday. That was a segment on Attack of the Show.
Right.
The name of the new show will be called DVD Tuesday because that's how everyone used to mispronounce it.
Ah. Have you come to terms with Ben Affleck as Batman now?
Are you kidding? I liked it. When I first heard it, I was a little surprised. But then I'm like, look, you're casting a jaw. When you're casting Batman, I happen to think that he's
casting
got.
Casting jaw.
Yeah, you're casting a jaw. I feel like he's got excellent taste when it comes to, I mean, the guy should have won Best Director for Argo.
Right.
He got boned out of that. So, but, you know, I think that he's
poor
excellent.
Poor Ben.
Yeah. I like, you know what? I believe in Ben Affleck. I think he's going to be a good Batman.
But you, there was some backlash in the beginning. You weren't sold on it.
I wasn't completely sold at the beginning, but then it was like, the more I thought about it, no, he would be a really good Batman.
All right.
He started looking at that jaw a little more seriously.
Yeah.
Because Clooney had a nice jaw, and that didn't work out.
Yeah.
But that wasn't necessarily
his fault. Clooney's pretty much Clooney in every movie.
Yeah, well, and that's when he was bobbing his head around a lot, and that didn't quite work.
Right. But, now he's got the smoking hot, smart lawyer wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and how's your love life? Because last time you were here, you were in a very, you were a bad funk. Remember that relationship with Josie?
We brought
Joyce Lee, the
you
lovely.
You had to bring it back.
The
oh,
lovely
no!
singer.
Open
you
that
had
wound.
To bring it back. I just don't fucking care anymore. I'm like,
really?
I'm giving up. Yeah, like, I date a lot of girls and I have a lot of friends
right.
who are women. Most of my friends are women. Actually.
Yeah, me too.
You mean fuck buddies.
No.
Isn't it funny how people use the word friend in Hollywood? No.
I would love to have a girlfriend. I would love to have a girlfriend.
Right.
I have many female friends, and I think that they would not want me to be their boyfriend. I'm not really, it's sort of like that weird thing. I'm not into them as much as they're into me, or vice versa.
Right.
Let me ask you a question.
Me as much as I'm into them.
I have a serious question about
I'm
this.
I'm not talking about...
Josie has a serious wants to ask question.
But it's weird. It's weird when you date when you're my age. I'm 49 years old.
Right. You're 49 years old.
It's not as easy anymore because I've dated girls in their 20s.
Right.
That's a waste of time.
No, that's always good when they say, you remind me of my dad. That's always great.
I just want to know how many collectible toys he has.
I am a DILF, let's be honest. I am a DILF. Not as many as you would think. When you come to my place... My apartment is pretty awesome.
I've been to your house.
In our community, though, a lot of the girls have them, too. So
it's
they do now. They didn't have them 5 years ago.
They wanted them.
Where I live, I have nerdy things, but also it's... I live like an adult. So,
but Chris, I mean,
Chris,
Chris and Tessa, back me up on this. Now, Tessa, you're an anomaly in many ways.
Well, thank you.
But 5-10 years ago, women did not openly... profess to like these nerdy things.
I did.
I know you did.
I played Mortal Kombat with my Barbies.
I think it's become cool now, but I think it's also become open where it's like okay for a woman to say, I read comics. I do this. I'm not faking this. Like some women who fake that they like sports and they really are not into.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are some women faking that they're a nerd?
I think that some are, but for the most part,
I don't think it's any more or less than it's people like fake any other interest because they, I really like kayaking because this hot guy likes to kayak. Right. No, you don't like it, but it's. I think it's the same.
You're faking being a virgin because it's April Fool's Day, but that's
my April Fool's shirt.
I see that.
I think a lot of girls are faking that they're nerds now because they could go to the cons and it's like Halloween to them. They could dress up like a slut. It's just another excuse to dress slutty. Come on.
What do you think? Chris seems to be...
What do you think about that, Chris?
He knows what I'm thinking.
And they're legit.
There's like a huge... You guys don't realize you're dancing around this huge issue where there's a lot of cosplayer hate because like about 2 years ago, men started ragging on chicks for dressing like... cosplayers,
really?
Assuming they didn't know anything about the comics. Yeah. And it was really frustrating.
That's
and it's a whole
I'm
bunch
to.
Of, it's a lot of stigma for women to get over.
Because women could dress slutty anywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't fucking matter if they,
I don't need a con
like
to walk around with my tits out. I'll do it wherever I
will
I want
like the nerd stuff I like.
That's
just what it is.
You're half Vulcan. That doesn't make sense. But and speaking of that, where does the time go? Tessa, we need to get some stunts going here.
Okay. I brought my taser.
Oh, please. Oh, who's going to tase you? Who wants to tase? Now, Josie, I think, is going to do something else. You've already tased her.
Would you like to tase me?
Chris, would you like to tase her?
Really?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's
okay.
Fun.
Okay. Chris Gouard is going to tase Tessa LaCoyle.
Can you get a picture of this?
I'm going to get a picture of this. I have to get a picture of this.
This is a 200,000-volt taser.
Jesus.
It's so
that
cool.
Looks,
Josie's done it. Amazon Eve did it last time.
Uh-huh. Josie's actually tasered my nipple before. Yes. They had to blur it for the show.
Yes. Please go to the archives on darkmarkshow.com.
So what do I do?
I couldn't believe
she
was going to go along with it.
Okay. And check out the ears. Show them the ears.
Oh, my ears.
Yes.
My Vulcan ears.
Oh, my God. They're awesome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wow. And I have Android antenna, too.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah, and that.
And
yeah,
that.
Wow. Yes.
So,
and
what you can't say about Fran.
This is not something that...
Okay, so Tessa's got the taser out. It's making weird noises.
You have to charge it up right before it goes.
Uh-oh. Don't tell me we're not going to get any tasers this time.
Technical difficulties.
Oh, no.
Technical difficulties.
Uh-oh. I should have brought extra batteries. What was I thinking?
Where's Ginger Lynn's box of stuff?
That's not here anymore. Oh, there we go. Okay, so.
Okay. Wow. That's really frightening.
Okay.
Would you like to do that?
Nicole, would you like to taste Tessa?
I take pleasure in doing it.
So where will, if I did it somewhere, where would be a good place to do it?
My titties.
Titties, of course.
Let's do that.
Okay, Chris Gore is
you
teasing.
You have to turn. Why don't you get up?
Tessa, can you
move the microphone?
And then, forward.
Okay, can we see it now? Okay.
I set that up nicely.
So I press.
Okay, so.
You press the button.
Chris
this
Gore
button right
is,
here.
Yeah,
I press it up.
Okay, so nice. I like that.
This one.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Okay,
so you just tap it.
Just tap it, Chris, please.
Lightly. And so turn it on first
and then tap. Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Oh!
Oh, my God!
It's fun, huh?
Try it again. Okay.
You got to even it out. You got to get on both boobs.
Oh, my God.
Do I get to do your testicles next?
No.
You can do mine.
No, that's
really?
Right now. But
oh, my God. That's
maybe later. We'll.
How does that feel? What's it feel like?
Feels like about 200,000 volts straight through your boobies.
Now, Tessa, you've said before that you're not into pain.
I'm not into pain.
And you do all these painful things.
Well, to me, electricity isn't pain. Electricity feels good.
Hanging from the tree by hooks and dragging cars, that's a little painful.
That's fun. That's all adrenaline and endorphins.
Can you show can you show that other picture? Because I got a picture. I think they're putting the hooks in you.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you look to be in very much pain.
Let's see this
I'm
picture.
I'm not going to look at it.
Yes, I don't know if they have it on the.
So what led to all this? Like, first of all, I think this nerdy stuff is the the ears, the stuff is cool, but like, what led you to want to do that? I mean, look, some people just go and cosplay at conventions.
There you go, here you go. Tell me you're not in pain in that photograph.
You look like you're a little in pain.
Yeah. Sometimes getting the hooks put in hurts a little bit, but once your adrenaline and your endorphins kick in, your body goes into a natural state of shock.
Trust me, they're kicking in right now.
So your body actually cuts off its own pain receptors.
Okay. And that's from a nurse. That's a nursing student.
It's this feeling of absolute euphoria.
Okay. So Chris asked, what got you into this? And I've asked you this a few times as you've danced around the question. What really got you into this?
I've always been really fascinated with the human body and what the human body can go through. I think that a lot of people underestimate what a body can experience.
And speaking of that, you're going to be laying on a bed of nails.
Do we have time?
We have time. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait.
It's going to take me a second to set up.
I have a question. Because I've dated some really unique and exceptional women like yourself. And by that, I mean like, just like.
Good one, Chris.
No, I'm serious. But like, what? No, I mean, exceptional.
Are you hitting on me, honey? Because I feel like nerds.
No, but what
there's a question that? Coming.
No, but what I'm saying is that what sometimes I've found. Wait, I'm trying to ask
a legit question.
Chris can't spit it out.
So what I'm saying is that. Can I just ask the question?
Ask the question. Go ahead.
The question is so what's it like to be with you in bed? And by that I mean is
that
sometimes someone that I've known, because I've known some women that I find like they're just like just off the hook crazy in all aspects of their lives. Then in bed they want to have normal vanilla sex, which is I find strange. So I, what I'm saying is those things don't normally all go together. Mm-hmm. So what's that like?
I think it's dependent on the partner and the situation.
I assure you, this girl does not have vanilla sex.
But you do like to,
a lot of women that I know that are like, you know, really outrageous. They just want to cuddle and they want like...
Oh, I'm definitely normal. A cuddler. Definitely yeah. A cuddler.
And into like normal stuff, sort of, you know, the
you can tell
the
by how much they like. It's about the sensuality of it. Like, if you're a very sensual person, then you're going to be very sensual in bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I agree with you. It's more like it depends on the person. Like if I'm really into
it's the person and the situation, because you can have one partner that you're able to experience a myriad of, but everything from sexual deviancy to sexual normality. Like, you can find that one partner or those two partners, if you're poly or however you'd like to live. If you find someone or people who make you happy, then those people or that person will make you happy, whether you're having vanilla sex or whether you're doing missionary or whether you're, you know, fucking in a parking lot because you don't want to wait until you get home. You know, like, it doesn't matter. Like,
you give me a ride home, right? Oh, by the way, she encouraged me to split my tongue like she does.
Yeah, everybody should. There's absolutely no evolutionary reason why the human being has one tongue.
Your tongue is two
independent muscles.
She expertly avoided that question, Chris. Did you notice that?
No, but that's pretty cool.
But anyway, you lay on a bed of nails.
Yes, but my bed of nails only has four nails on it.
Right, because the ones that have the whole nails...
And they're railroad spikes, which I have actually gone out of my way to Dremel and sharpen because they weren't sharp enough.
Well, can you set that up real quick?
It seems like an excellent time to point out I'm afraid of needles.
We'll talk while you're setting that up.
So you don't like needles?
That's why I'm not looking at that picture either. For me. I'm just sitting here. This is what I look like when I'm afraid.
The wild girls that you've been with that are seemingly wild have been vanilla in the bed? And you've been with...
Sometimes it's the case. Like, I've dated some suicide girls.
Right.
And some...
Because last time you were here, you said you wanted...
I've dated a lot of different women, but...
What's the most wild thing that you've done?
Those are real spikes, by the way.
I don't know if we have time to talk about it.
No, while she's setting it up, please. Let's talk about it. What's the wildest thing?
Please tell us. Someone that you thought was going to be vanilla.
I actually tell a story on my comedy album. I got fucked in the ass by my own cock once.
That is great. No, he did.
Was it one that you purchased?
I made a
cast or something?
It was like a mold of my own cock, but the whole purpose was my girlfriend was interested in doing a DP, so it was like, well, let's just do that with both of my dicks. And then she was like, well, if I would do that, like if I'm going to take you up the ass, then You should do that for me also.
So we're setting up.
I would say that's probably the most.
So you took. So you took it up the ass.
What a giver!
Wow.
So your girlfriend.
Damn.
So your girlfriend fucked you up the ass with your own dick.
Right.
Wow.
How did you end up with a mold of your dick in the first place?
How did your dick feel up your ass?
That's actually kind
of
common.
One of those kits. It's called Create-A-Mate. Yeah.
Wait. You know what I'm Nicole, about? It's kind of common for people to fuck themselves up the ass with their own dick.
No. Josie asked about the molding of your genitalia.
Wait, what's it called? Create a dick?
Create-A-Mate.
Create-A-Mate?
You can do a mold of your own penis. So you may basically make a dildo of your dick. Mm-hmm. You have to basically have your.
Can you fuck your own penis from the inside?
No.
Because it's a mold, right?
But it should be almost the exact same.
Machine. Really hard for 10 minutes in a mold, which is like
how
sticking your dick in like really cold jello. Mm-hmm.
So
for 10 minutes.
Well, good for you.
It's
you,
like a plaster of Paris.
For 10 minutes.
Well,
all right, yeah. Chris.
But I mean, it's pretty common in the sex toys community, as far as I know. A lot of people have done it. I know that you can get.
Oh, so that's not. So what I did is not. So
wait,
special.
I'm really curious about this.
I personally haven't.
How did this
go over my head? This whole thing.
I know a lot of stuff. I just read stuff on the internet.
It was just a funny thing. Like this was. I was in a long distance relationship with a girl.
Right.
And so during, I only see her on weekends.
She wanted.
During the week, she wanted my dick. So. I gave her one. I gave her my dick.
If I had a nickel for every woman that told me that.
I know girls who have casts when their guys go on tour. I'm telling you, it's a pretty good
Nicole party with the Scorpions this week, so I mean, she knows a lot.
Right.
We'll talk about that next week. But so you're all set up with the bed and nails?
Yeah, I will need an assistant. Will you help me?
Sure.
Okay. So you're going to lower me onto this.
Okay.
So Chris... I'm sorry?
We'll see.
Okay, so Chris Gore is going to lower her onto the bed of nails. It's okay.
He was bending down to... Okay.
He's bending down...
So,
okay.
So I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to bend down first.
Okay.
And then hold on to you like this.
Got it.
And then you're going to help me down.
Got it.
And then as soon as I want up, you're going to have to help me.
Yes, I'll do that.
Now, is Josie going to be helping you in a special way too, or is that going to happen?
I think we're going to do the bed of nails.
Okay, good. Just the bed of nails?
Yep.
No time.
We got time. Trust me.
I'll make time.
Okay, so Chris is helping Tessa get on the
bed. Oh, Nicole.
I'm not watching.
Her ass is right
so not watching.
On the point.
It's not happening.
She's getting down. Okay, now her back is on.
Okay.
She has... Oh. She's huffing and puffing.
Wait. You are on she's on the bed of nails.
She's completely on it. Up. Oh, get her off.
Wow. When was the last time?
Did they ever puncture?
Wow, everybody.
That was amazing.
Woo!
Tessa LaCoy was on better nails. When was the last time you did that, Tessa?
Like 2 years.
Oh, my goodness. It was
she has holes in the back of her shirt.
Do you really?
Do I?
You do. You have holes in the back of your shirt.
Yeah.
Does it ever puncture through your skin?
It's scraped me a couple of times, especially when I have people like lay on top of me or like have somebody break a cinder block.
Okay, so I guess we'll have to all go back in our seats with the microphone. Oh. But show Josie your back, because your back is... There's a lot of scars on your back.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's all from suspension. I've easily done...
Just take off your clothes. Just go right ahead.
I've gone up for suspension easily more than 200 times. And so as far as, like, getting hooks in my back or getting nails in my back, like, when it happens, my upper back, I don't even bleed anymore. It's all scar tissue.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's here.
I have a question about the suspension. Is it strictly an adrenaline junkie thing, or is it more like the Native American Sundance type thing?
It depends. Once again, it's one of those situations.
The Native American Sundance? What?
I assume she knows why I'm speaking.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. That's where suspension comes from. Native Americans did something called Sundance, where they would do two hook-style piercings in their chest, and they would hang until they ripped out. It was a spiritual rite of passage.
It would take you on a journey. The same things she was describing scientifically would take you to a stage of enlightenment.
But hilarious. they did it to achieve a level of spirituality.
Yes, it was a spirit journey.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Once again, it's one of those things that I truly believe is situational. There are times that I've done it just because it was a performance and I was in it because I loved doing the performance. And there were certainly times where it was a little bit more spiritual and I was going through a certain phase in my life where I was mourning the loss of a loved one or what have you. And that was a part of my spiritual enlightenment or emotional growth.
Wow.
Well, there you have it.
Well, happy second anniversary. Thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll have you eat glass in 2016 because that's another one of your tricks that you do is eat glass. Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
Which is just as terrifying to me.
She's amazing. She's amazing. You're amazing too, Chris. Now we can all clap.
Oh, thank you.
So Podcrash, you're not doing Podcrash anymore.
No, I took off like the last year just to...
Right after when you did our show.
Regroup. Yeah. Right after I did your show, decided no more.
Right. And then are you still doing Geek Time on Sirius?
No, not doing that either.
How about the show with Eric Roberts on Film On?
I did that for a couple months. I'm not doing that now.
Okay.
The thing is, I feel very lucky, though. A lot of gigs just drop in my lap.
Oh, that's great. So this is big con season, so you're out.
I'm doing the cons, yeah. I'm doing a campaign to bring back Film Threat.
Right, so go to filmthreat.com. There are a lot of cool prizes on there, a lot of things.
And are you going to show up this weekend at all?
What's that?
Are you going to show up this weekend at all?
What do you mean show up?
Did they replace the panel with something else? Are you going to
No, we're doing a different panel.
What's the panel that you'll be doing?
I don't know. It's a really lame name. It's like when fans create or something. I don't know.
Does it have a more docile description then?
It has a more docile description. It's perfect.
You won't even be able to find it in the guide.
Perfectly. It's definitely sounds more milquetoast. But I can tell you, knowing the people on the panel,
maybe?
Yeah, it will not be milquetoast panel. In fact, we're going to discuss this issue on the panel on Friday because it's the same time, same people.
So maybe the lesson is describe yourself really vanilla just to sort of fly under the radar and then just make their brains explode.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, like, you know, it's weird. Matt Groening actually wrote a really interesting essay about subversion. And if you really look at The Simpsons television show, there's no way that you could do a live-action sitcom that discusses religion and drugs and the kinds of issues and, you know, nuclear power and the kinds of issues that The Simpsons get away with every week after week on a live-action sitcom. But because it's a cartoon, it's considered innocuous. So there is something to that. There's something to, you know, wrapping a subversive idea within kind of a milquetoast chocolatey covering, and I'm not. I have to get better at that.
Which is how you got the story about you fucking yourself up the ass on a.
Which I found out is not a big deal.
On a CD called Celebrities Poop.
Exactly, available on iTunes. Right. But now unfortunately I find out.
Oh, I don't know. Getting fucked with your own dildo is totally completely different.
Totally took the wind out of
myself.
But
having your own
guys do
penis.
That all the time. Guys do all the time.
Rock stars collection in her house.
Do molds with their cocks.
She's got a collection in her house.
Give it to their girlfriends.
Why do you think she was so excited that I had you as a guest? That's why. Chris.
Whatever. I
don't casters. Even use toys,
but then I've broken my cock twice.
How did you break your cock? This is how we're going to go into the show.
Not your real one, right? Your cock.
No, my actual cock.
Oh.
So this is probably
twice
happened
in
to
the
you.
Same spot? Broke my cock?
Yeah, your cock. Tessa's broken
it's
your cock.
It's happened with a boy.
Have you broke any cocks, Tessa?
Not recently.
Okay.
Well, it's
well, you're still
giving
me a ride home, right?
Basically, when you bend, your penis is bent in a fit. You're having rough sex.
They're on top. That happens kind of.
Having rough sex, and maybe you're doing that thing where you pull all the way out and go all back, whatever. Anyways, you bend it. And then the one thing that, there's a couple things I learned. One, there's a lot of blood. I mean, it looked like a murder scene out of Dexter. After I was with this one girl, and I looked at her and I was
on
just
her
like,
period?
My first thought was, oh, you're on your period, like, no big deal, like, it's happened, and, you know, you'll just keep going or whatever, and we were at a hotel, which was great, in Vegas, so it was like, the sheets, who cares?
Right.
And then it was like, oh, wait a sec, and then she pointed at my...
Dripping cock.
Broken penis.
Like, looked and down, and it was like, oh my, and there was just
it,
all this blood.
Like, bent like this, and it was, like, sad looking.
Here's what I learned.
What did you learn, Chris?
Fun medical fact. More than any other part of the human body, the genitals will recover from an injury and heal quicker than any other place on you.
I thought that's
true, because they're more vascular.
There you go, from a nursing student there.
Right, And it has, so that was like the second time it happened.
How long did it take to recover?
About 2 days. maybe, to be honest, the next day.
On the second break, did it break in the same place?
No, I don't even remember where.
Did you get like a little penis splint? Like a little popsicle sticks or something.
Basically, I just had to like not be active.
Two popsicle sticks and a rubber band. Did you,
did you MacGyver that shit? Like, what'd you do?
I MacGyvered the fuck out of it.
Anyway, so the man with the dick that's broken in two places, Chris Gore.
I tell that story on my stand-up.
I know. I've heard that doesn't happen all the time. It's not a one-man show. It's a lot of funny stuff. Charlie Sheen stories. It's great. Chris Gore. You're Chris Gore on all social media.
Yes.
And please, same film thread. I would love to see a film thread app. I'd put that on my phone.
Yeah, I would. I would love to bring it back.
Your goal is 100-some thousand.
Right.
If you get like 50,000, what are you going to do with the 50,000?
I don't get it. If I don't reach the goal, I don't get the money.
Really? I thought you got the money.
Nope. Really?
Only on Indiegogo.
When did
Kickstarter,
I,
you don't
oh,
get
Kickstarter.
To keep it.
Oh, now I know. Okay, so give to Chris Gore, same film thread, Tesla Coil. Amazing as always.
Thank you, sir. Amazing. Thank you for having me on. Always
amazing.
A good time.
Amazing.
And can I say, Mark, thank you for having her on?
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, I'll have her on anytime.
Well, we've run into each other at a bunch of different events.
Now you remember.
Well, no,
me.
I do remember.
Oh, Danny Danger, the chick with the mohawk. Yeah, I remember you now.
Just, I've seen pictures of you. There's like a really famous one where you're just walking across the street that was like a meme for a while.
Oh,
Remember, one
of my old roommates, the lesbian midget in the wheelchair, but she was in Klingon face.
Yeah, she was. It was awesome, but it was just like, I remember seeing that picture, I was like, damn, that is so awesome. Like, it was just like, I love that people can, because I grew up, like, one of my closest friends was, she had muscular dystrophy.
Right.
Growing up. I was like 5, and it was just weird. I remember being teased.
Did she break your dick?
No. Remember being teased for having her as a friend, which made me angry. It always just made me angry. I didn't like any sort of teasing or bullying, because I grew up in the Midwest where people are,
they can be narrow-minded.
Let's look at Indiana and what's happening right now.
I understand.
You know, so I was always like, it just made me upset and angry that like, why would you exclude people because of something that is so surface level and stupid, like gender, ethnicity, or disability. That just pissed me off.
I agree with you, Chris, and I hate to cut you off because I agree with everything you said. We really have to go.
Josie, why? Why do we have to go? It's a podcast.
We have an hour time slot. Anyway, Josie Cat on all social media, Josie Cat, KAT. Go to NicoleSix.com to get. Oh, go ahead, Josie. You want to say something?
Oh, no. Just Google me and you'll see what's up. Josie Cat.
And that Nicole Six, she's on social media. Go to NicoleSix.com and you can read some of her writing. She's a horror writer. And also this summer, look out. I'm going to be performing at my new one-man show as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival, Blue Balls Knoll. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.